Chapter 13, Renunciation. What is renunciation? Renunciation is the quintessence of spirituality, the sap of religion. The spirit of renunciation instilled by Vedanta paves the way to enlightenment. Yet the subject of renunciation is seldom spoken of in religious institutions, a topic which hardly finds a place in spiritual discussions. And the concept of renunciation is totally misconstrued. The idea of renunciation is repulsed by the modern society. The thought of it is dismissed by people as something repugnant. The beauty and grandeur of renunciation has been transformed into an ugly caricature. The general misconception is that it means resignation and retirement from life. To go barefooted and bareheaded, live in the seclusion of forests, this is far from the truth. Had it been so, then renunciation would be of no practical use to people and only cater to a few social recluses who shun any form of pleasure or material comfort. Ironic as it may seem, renunciation is meant for one and all. It has to be practiced in business and home, in everyday life, in the din and roar of the marketplace. It is the solace of life, it is the solace of death. In its true form, renunciation provides the greatest consolation to those who suffer from worldly attachment and desire. And when intensified, it draws out the divinity in a human being, animates him to bring about a reintegration, a reunion with the Supreme Being. Renunciation is the fragrance a spiritually evolved person releases when performing his obligatory duties and responsibilities. The sublime trait of renunciation ought not to be reduced to weak resignation. Those equipped with this great trait stood out as spiritual stalwarts in the world. Hence, a thorough understanding of this human quality is of prime importance to one's life and living. No progress is possible without renunciation. As you advance to the higher echelons of life, you drop the lower. It is a natural progression. Your childhood traits fall off as you reach your teens. So do your teenage fascinations drop with advancing maturity. The flower is sacrificed when the fruit emerges. Thus, renunciation is a mark of growth, a symbol of progress in life. Below is a careful and methodic analysis which provides a clear picture of renunciation. 1. Does renunciation mean isolation from society? Retiring to secluded places? It cannot mean that. If so, it would be of no use to people to practice and live by. Renunciation is an essential ingredient of religion, designed for every human being for his evolution. He needs to apply it in all facets of life while interacting with the world. 2. If association with the world is permissible, does renunciation then mean abstaining from individual possession and enjoyment of worldly objects and beings? It cannot mean that either. In the past, India was the home of many royal sages. They were kings who were highly evolved souls living a life of renunciation. King Janaka was one such royal sage. He reigned over a kingdom, enjoyed the comforts of royalty, yet was a man of renunciation, rooted in the thought of the Supreme. Never was he enmeshed in the affairs of the world. Tradition apart, it would be impractical to allow one to contact the sense objects but not enjoy their pleasures. To stimulate the appetite for sensual pleasure through contact and stifle enjoyment therefrom, that would be far more frustrating than total abstinence from them. Hence, there is no objection to enjoyment of sense objects. The practice of renunciation, therefore, does not taboo worldly possession or enjoyment. 3. Does renunciation then mean restricted possession and enjoyment? Fixing limits to the quantum of your possession and extent of your enjoyment of sense objects? No, not even that. Had it been so, the practice of renunciation would mean merely following charts with fixed limits for material possession and sensual enjoyment. Moreover, it is not possible to fix such limits in practical life. What is excessive for one may be insufficient for another, both in terms of material possession and sensual enjoyment. Hence, renunciation cannot be defined by such arbitrary boundaries. This truth has been highlighted in the scripture by two extreme examples. Lord Krishna was known to have kept the company of many gopis, milkmaids, yet he was acclaimed as a Nitya Brahmachari, meaning perpetual celibate. So too was sage Durvasa, known for freely consuming food, and he was known as Nitya Upavasi, one on constant fast. These apparent contradictions are meant to drive home the truth that possession and enjoyment do not determine one's stature of renunciation. 4. If the quantum of possession and enjoyment also is not related to renunciation, then what is renunciation? What is the difference between a materialistic, sensual person and a renunciate? This is the crux of the problem. Go over the above analysis carefully. It becomes evident that renunciation is not severance from the world, nor does it mean abstinence from possession and enjoyment, nor restriction and limitation imposed upon the quantum of possession and enjoyment. Hence, you could remain amidst people and prosperity, you could acquire, possess, and enjoy objects and beings without imposing any restriction or limitation, and yet be a renunciate. If one is allowed to enjoy all these liberties, what then does confer the status of renunciation upon an individual? You can find that out by studying your own past experiences in life. In your childhood, you were attached to playthings. You spent your time then acquiring and enjoying toys and trinkets. Now that you are grown up, you no longer value them. You treat them as trifles. You are preoccupied with other attractions. caught up with your family, name, fame, wealth, power. The childhood playthings do not hold your interest anymore. They drop off. You are said to have renounced them. What determines your dispassion towards your childhood interests? What ascertains that spirit of renunciation? Carefully analyze the cause. It is not your physical parting from playthings, not your dispossession or non-enjoyment, nor limitation in their possession and enjoyment. You may possess them, even join your children at times, enjoy playing with them, and yet claim to have renounced them because you do not treasure them anymore. They are not worth anything to you. You no longer credit them with any merit. Your interest has risen to greater heights. As you graduate to higher values of life, you automatically drop your interest value for the lower. You grow out of it. That spirit of inner abstraction or resignation is the crux of renunciation. Thus, renunciation follows one's growth in personality, founded by knowledge established in the higher values of life. The highest value, the greatest mission in life, is the discovery of the Supreme Self within. He who has set self-realization as his goal in life pursues it with faith and conviction, has no attraction for worldly possession and enjoyment. Name and fame mean nothing to him. Wealth and power do not lure him. He does not get enmeshed in family affairs. He understands the ephemeral nature of all that the world offers, be it wealth or enjoyment. If he needs to possess or contact them, he does so with inner abstraction. Others may not recognize his mental resignation towards them. Thus, renunciation could be defined as disinterested interest, dispassionate passion towards the world. The Tamil scripture refers to that state in striking terms, Thungamal Thungi, asleep yet not sleeping. One takes this supreme stance in life when one sets the right value for the world, considers object and being, action and perception, emotion and thought to be ephemeral, transient. Renunciation is the insignia of spiritual growth, emanating from the knowledge of the eternal self. A spiritually evolved person commands a true spirit of renunciation. He runs his family with love and affection, possesses property, enjoys the senses. While he goes through these experiences, his mind remains anchored in the Supreme Self within. With the mind rooted in the Self, he understands the futility of the world, feels that inner dispassion towards the events and experiences of mundane existence. Few in the world today have a proper understanding of this magnificent stand of renunciation. The ignoramuses feign this illustrious state of being by their outward practices. They live in seclusion, discard property and possession, avoid sense contact, put on an act of celibacy. With all that, their minds entertain material and sensual thoughts. They still harbor mundane values. Their appraisal of the world remains high. Such impersonators are far removed from the state of renunciation. True renunciation, therefore, is that capacity in you to set the right value for all that the world offers, to consider them ephemeral and inconsequential, even while you may be amidst them, perhaps enjoying them. The above dissection of renunciation clears the general misconception of a materialist and sensualist. A person is adjudged a materialist or not by the value he confers upon material wealth regardless of the quantum he possesses. When he understands material objects as trivial and trifling, as valueless and a potential impediment to spiritual growth, he is no materialist. Whereas another who carries much value for material wealth regards it as a primary aspect of life would be a materialist, whether or not he possesses it. Similarly, a sensualist is not judged by the extent of his contact with or enjoyment of sense objects, but by his mental attitude towards them. When a person places sense objects and the pleasures thereof in their proper perspective, realizes their clear limitation, considers them the harbinger of future sorrow and misery, and maintains a suzerainty over them, he is no sensualist, even if he were to enjoy them. Whereas the one who considers sensual pleasures as an all-important part of life, succumbs to the pleasures of the senses, would be a sensualist, even if he physically abstains from them. Renunciation is the measure of spirituality, the yardstick of spiritual evolution. As an aspirant evolves to the higher, subtler realms of his personality, he becomes freed from the lower, grosser levels. He no longer identifies with the grosser. He grows out of the desires associated with them, in effect, renounces them. As he reaches the height of spiritual evolution, identifies with the Supreme Self, he attains total renunciation when his desires completely fall off. The self within, Atman, is enveloped by concentric layers of matter comprising thoughts and desires. As you move away from your divine center, your ego develops. Your thoughts and desires turn grosser. They multiply. And at the farthest point, your ego is maximized. Your thoughts and desires become grossest, countless. Thus, when you live at the lowest level of your personality, your thoughts and desires are gross and numerous. But as you acquire spiritual knowledge, you begin to entertain higher and nobler values. You move up to the higher realms of your personality. Your thoughts and desires improve in quality and reduce in quantity. Consequently, you renounce the lower. Thus, through daily study and reflection on spiritual literature, you identify with the Supreme Self, the core of your personality. At that stage, your only desire is to realize the self. All other desires vanish. You reach the state of total renunciation. So, renunciation would mean delivering everything to the Supreme Reality, not considering the body, mind, and intellect as yours, dropping the false idea of your personal self, casting aside your vain, accumulative, and possessive attitude, not arrogating anything to yourself, resigning everything to the reality, appropriating everything to the real self in you. You then rise above the little self, the ego. It is your ego that becomes involved, enmeshed in the affairs of the world, obsessed with mundane duties and responsibilities. Rising above the ego and identifying with the real self, you remain above worldly care and anxiety. You remain detached, free from the persecutions of the ego. Maintaining that exalted state, you plunge into single-pointed meditation, attain spiritual enlightenment. The practice of negating the little self and asserting the real self helps in rising above your false personality, subduing your ego, effacing your copywriting spirit of me and mine. These feelings and thoughts engender, feed your little appropriating self, the ego. You must negate your ego to attain the state of renunciation. Remember, you are the Supreme Self. Yourself is whole, everything. Asserting the self is accepting everything, the entire world, as yourself. Renunciation, therefore, is not giving up anything but taking up the whole world. Not dispossession, but all possession. Thus does renunciation crown you the King of Kings. The spirit of renunciation purifies action. You must learn to renounce your sense of doership in action. Also renounce your interest in the fruit of action. Thus must you clip the past and future and plunge in action per se. That spirit of detachment renders your action par excellence. The beauty and grandeur of human activity is renunciation in action, not renunciation of action. Renunciation has further been classified under three broad categories, known as sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic. Sattvic renunciation is the highest true renunciation. Rajasic is conditioned, temporary state of renunciation, and tamasic the lowest, no renunciation at all. Tamasic renunciation is the relinquishment of obligatory action out of delusion. A human being has to fulfill his obligation to his family, his business, community, country, etc. Relinquishing duties and responsibilities out of ignorance, indifference, is considered tamasic. Also, discarding things out of ignorance of their value because one is not aware of its pleasure content would fall under tamasic renunciation. Rajasic renunciation is relinquishment of action because of fear of physical or mental pain that it may cause. In that case, the person claiming to have renounced action would willingly take to it if the strain or pain part of it is removed. Such pseudo-relinquishment is considered rajasic. Ironically, true renunciation does not mean giving up action. Sattvic renunciation, acclaimed as of the highest order, speaks of performance of action. A human has to perform his obligatory functions in life. He cannot give up his duty and responsibility. He must do what he ought to do without being involved in his action or entertaining a profit motive in it. Just carry out work objectively, with no desire driving action and no craving for fruit. Thus, sattvic renunciation means acting without the mind's attachment to action or anxiety for the fruit thereof.